Okay, turn your Bibles, if you would, to the 121st Psalm. Short little psalm, but a lovely psalm. It's part of the Psalm of Degrees. And what a wonderful psalm it is. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Who's going to help me? That's the title of the message from this psalm. The superscription of the psalm tells us that it is a song of degrees. This is a psalm that the worshipers in that day would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to participate in the three great annual feasts. That is, the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Tabernacles. That means that this is a pilgrim's psalm. It speaks of the dangers of a journey and of help that God provides to His people in that journey and in our journey of life. Now, just so you know, verse 1, let's read it again. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. That is not a declaration of hope, but rather it is a cry of despair. The psalmist is not looking to the hills for help in facing the problems of life. The psalmist is telling us that danger is lurking in the hills above, and that danger is waiting for an opportunity to pounce upon the weary traveler. When trouble comes, and it will, where can the pilgrim turn for help? The psalmist answers his own question by reminding us that the Lord is our help. Now, I would remind you today that we are pilgrims, because in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And in Hebrews 11:13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Now, our pilgrimage, our journey, began the moment that we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And that journey, that pilgrimage, will continue until we step out of this life into eternity. My soul thrills when I think of the glories that await us when we finally get to our heavenly home. Think of the glories of heaven. Think of the thrill of seeing our departed loved ones. Think of the wonder of living in a glorified body, free from sin, free from sorrow, free from suffering, and best of all, free from Satan. Think of the overwhelming joy of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory and worshiping Him over there. What a day that will be. But you know, we're not there yet, are we? Along the way, there are dangers lurking everywhere. There are thieves who would rob us of peace, of joy, and would even try to rob us of our victory. There are sins that would quench the fire of God in our very souls. There are problems that would strip us from the glory and from the power of Almighty God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've walked through some very difficult times in my 78 years. These have been very times of when dangers have surrounded my life, and I wondered exactly where my help would come from. You've been there, I'm sure. You might even be there tonight. Since this is a common experience for all of God's pilgrims, for all of God's children, we need the lessons taught by this precious psalm. If you're a pilgrim, this psalm is for you. Let's join the psalmist for a few minutes as he tells us about a source of help who is greater than any threat that we'll ever face in our pilgrimage to heaven. In these verses, there is help for pilgrims. There is help for those who feel they're about to be overcome and overwhelmed by their afflictions. There is help for those who may think no one cares. There is help for those who are asking, who's going to help me? I want you to notice the lesson revealed here as we think on the thought, who's going to help me? So point number one, the source of your help. My help cometh from the Lord, verse 2 says, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist knew that his help would not come from the hills. In the day that this was written, the hills were places of idolatry. They were places of false religions. It was on the hills that they built their groves. It was on the hills that they built their idols and their false gods. So this writer knows that he'll not find any help where there's a false god or a false religion. None of the idols of the heathen can offer any help that we need. And five times in this psalm, the psalmist identifies his helper as the Lord. The Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah. This is the God of covenant. This is a God that cannot lie. This is a God that is love, all personified in Himself. This name identifies Him as the self-existing, self-eternal, unchanging God who's over all. He controls all. He is all in all. This name identifies Him and the God who keeps all the promises He makes to His people. Now, the psalmist refused to look to the gods of the false religion for help because they were unable to help him. Look at the 115th psalm. Another psalm with only 8 verses. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And I like verse 8 because it says, those who make them are just like them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. The psalmist turned his attention to the Lord. He knew that the real source of his help was Almighty God. He isn't referring to a friend. He's not referring to an ally. But he's referring to the Creator of the universe. the idea of this, if God can make this world, then surely He has the power to take care of little me. So, the psalmist does not look to creation for the help that he needs, but he looks to the Creator Himself. What a truth. Our helper is none other than the very one who stood on the very edge of nothing and made everything with just the power of His Word. He is able to help you. He's able to help me. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Here the Bible says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Isaiah 40 and verse 12, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span." That's interesting. "And comprehended the dust of the earth in measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." The span. What an interesting word. What He has done. What He has done in the past. He has not changed. Not even a little bit. He is the source of your help. Now, we won't find the help that we need in the world around us. Our help will be found only in the Lord Himself. Number two, the scope of your help. Verses 3 and 4. "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." He helps, capital A, He helps those who slip. Now, this verse tells us that the Lord will not allow our foot to slip. God knows how easy it is for us to slip into sin, to slip into discouragement. We must remember that He is ever with us, and He has promised to sustain us with His presence and with His power. In Hebrews 13:5, the Bible says, "Let your conversation," and that word in the Greek actually means your conduct, "let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" He is like our shadow, we're told in verse 5. He is always with us. We're told that the Lord is our keeper in verses 4 and 5. We're told that the Lord will preserve us in verses 7 and 8. All five of these words translate the same Hebrew word. It is a word that means to watch, to keep, to observe, to guard, or to have charge of. When the Lord saved you, He took responsibility for you. Isn't it interesting, mamas and dads, how you take responsibility for your children? Everything they do and everything they see, it seems to fall upon you as your responsibility. That's why God has given you the responsibility of teaching that child. We have to be careful what we teach him, don't we? And we have to be careful the way that we teach them. I tell you what, I thank God for such a godly mother and a godly father that I had. My mother was the one that disciplined us children. Of course, I had two older sisters, and they needed much more discipline than I ever did. But my mother used to use, and I know you don't approve of this in the day that we live, this is not politically correct, but my mother used to use a razor strap on me. And none of you don't even know what a razor strap is, do you? It's a long piece of leather that a barber used to sharpen his razor on. And she kept that rolled up in the kitchen drawer. And when I did anything wrong, I'm telling you, she had that razor strap out and on my place where I sit just as quick as that. But you know what? I thank God for my mother every day. And I thank God for every one of those strappings that I got. I think it built character in me. There'll be times when we feel like giving up. There'll be times when we feel like giving in. But we need to realize that He has lifted us out of the miry clay of this world. He has set our feet up on a very solid rock, the rock of His power, the rock of His glory, and He has established our goings. We are constantly being reinforced and helped by the mighty hand of Almighty God. Psalm 40 and the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard me cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What this means to us is that we can count on the Lord to help us all along the way in our journey of life. In fact, the New Testament depicts the Lord in the person of the Holy Spirit as a comforter. In John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He is pictured as one who comes along beside us. He offers us help. He offers us assistance. He helps us to keep on standing for the Lord. Capital B, He helps those who sleep. Now, not only does the Lord know that it is easy for us to slip, He also knows that it's easy for us to sleep. There are times when we grow weary and we want to rest. There are times when we let down our guard and get caught napping. But you know what? Not so with the Lord. He is ever awake. He is ever active. And He is ever active on your behalf and on my behalf. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't tire. He doesn't fall asleep at the switch. Therefore, there is no need for you to worry. There's no need for you to fret. There's no need for you to lose one moment's sleep at any time because of this problem or because of this other problem. Now, I understand you women are worriers, aren't you? But you know you don't need to because the Lord's in charge. God is ever awake and is constantly on the job. What a blessing to know that we can depend on Him. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, Jeremiah said, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Back in the days of World War II, and none of you remember that except Brother Dan and I. We remember it well, don't we? You don't? Come on. Well, unfortunately, I remember it well. Back in the days of World War II, the Germans were bombing London all night, every night. After one terrible attack, the people of London begin to search through the rubbles, looking for the dead and for the injured. After a while, all had been accounted for but one old grandmother. Her name was Mrs. Smith. They searched everywhere for her, and they finally, someone found her in her bedroom, asleep in her bed. They were shocked. And they ask her, Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all of those bombs dropping around? Her answer is priceless. She said, well, the Bible says that he who keeps Israel never slumbers nor sleeps. And I decided there was no use in both of us staying up. So I just went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands. Oh, what faith. Lord, give us that kind of faith. Capital C. He helps those who struggle. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. You know, the image changes here from one who is marching to now one who's fighting. The imagery changes from the walk to the warfare. These verses remind us that while we're pilgrims, while we're strangers in this world, we're also soldiers. We're soldiers engaged in the fight of our lives against a ruthless, tireless enemy who is bent on our total destruction. The hills were also where the thieves and the bandits made their hideouts. He protects us, number one. He protects us from he protects you from your enemies. Verse 5 tells us that the Lord is our shield. He's our shield. It says upon our right hand. That's interesting, isn't it? In ancient times, warriors carried two items into battle. One was a sword, and the other was a shield. Now, normally the shield was carried in the left hand, and the sword in the right hand. This meant that the right side was vulnerable to attack since there was no shield of protection upon it. The psalmist is telling us that God takes up a deliberate, a defensive position to protect us where we're most vulnerable. Isn't that great? We never know from where our attacks will come. Sometimes we find ourselves attacked on areas where we're the weakest. Our enemy knows all about our weaknesses. Other times we find that we're attacked in the areas where we're the strongest. Think back at your Bible stories. Elijah is renowned for his courage, yet he fled from a woman, Jezebel. Moses, his great strength was his meekness, yet in anger, he smote the rock, and as a result, he was forbidden to enter the promised land. Abraham's greatest strength was his faith in the Lord, yet he went into Egypt in pure unbelief. And the whole point now is this. You and I will be attacked, and we never know where the attack will come from, but it never catches God off guard. He is always ready to shield us and to protect us from the enemies. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Number two, he protects you from the elements, verse 6 says. Now, in this verse, it's interesting because the psalmist speaks of two possible sources of harm that were common to the ancient soldier. One was a sunstroke, a dangerous condition which the body became overheated and shut down. This condition would be fatal. The other was a moonstroke. That's interesting, isn't it? This was believed by the ancients to be just as dangerous. Moonstroke, unlike sunstroke, did not affect the body, but it affected the mind. In ancient times, mental illness was thought to be caused by the moon. This is where we get the word lunatic. That refers to someone who has a mental disturbance. I arrived in the Philippines July 4th, 1971. And the missionary that the church that I took, he had a guard. And he came to me and asked me, said, Brother Merritt, would you hire Brother Emilio as a guard? I said, I don't need a guard. Well, he said, I know, but if you don't hire him, he's not going to have a job. He won't have anything to do, and you only have to pay him, his pay was very small. So I said, okay, then no problem, well, I'll hire him. So we hired Emilio as our guard to walk around the house at night and keep us safe. Ha ha, okay, so. Well, the first night that he guarded our house, it was a full moon, and he was about one taco short of a full plate. And that poor Emilio shot himself in the foot. So I had to go to him. I said, Emilio, we don't want any guns. All you need to do is just walk around the house. Everybody that knows you're here, they're going to stay away. So that's all you need. Philippians 4:7 says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Psalm 91:4 says, He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The 18th Psalm, verse 2, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I tell you what, I don't need anything else. Amen? Number 3, the strength of your help, verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So, just a couple of 3 things here. Number 1, you are preserved from evil. The psalmist says that God will preserve thee from all evil. Now, this refers to both the evil that exists within us and the evil that surrounds us. Now, let's consider just 2 of these real quick. Number 1, our flesh is evil. The flesh is not redeemed, and it is much like a volcano. At any moment, the sin that is pent upon us can just burst forth and commit any sin imaginable. This old flesh, which we carry around, is utterly depraved, according to Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. How can we ever hope to live for God? The answer lies in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, have you noticed how easy it is to sin? It requires no effort at all, does it? Why? Well, because we're born with a bent in that direction. Number 1. Number 2, because we like it. Number 3, we are good at it, aren't we? The Lord will help us overcome the inward evil in this life if we want that victory. Victory is yours if you want it. Notice this promise from the 24th verse of Jude. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. There's also evil that comes against us from without. It comes to us in the form of satanic attack. There's a very real devil who wants you to fail. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The secret to overcoming the influence and attacks of Satan in our life is found in James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Capital B, you are preserved for all eternity. And the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. This is the verse the psalmist reminds us that the Lord will keep us while we're here. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You see, beloved, he protects us regardless of the direction that the journey takes us. Thy going out, thy coming in. Sometimes we're coming in, we're living close, and we feel secure in our walk with him. But yet at other times we are going out. We're not as close as we should be. Whether we're in or whether we're out, he is always faithful to keep us for himself. Who's going to help you? Who's going to help you when gas, groceries, and all things that you have to buy, the prices go up and expenses keep rising while incomes don't keep up with it? Who's going to help you? Who's going to help you when temptations arise within your heart? Who's going to help you when Satan launches an attack against your life? Who's going to help you when troubles, trials, and problems overwhelm your heart and your mind and your soul? Who's going to help you when the bottom falls out of your life and you seem to have nowhere to turn? Who's going to help you when your friends and your family and other resources fail? Who's going to help you when you don't even know how to help yourself? Answer, there's one. One who can help. And his name is Jehovah. He can help you. Why? Because he possesses the ability to help you. He will help because he possesses the will to help you. Who's going to help you? Who's going to help me? The Lord God of heaven. And he is the only one who can help.